Bakewell objection.
If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light of the beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, beloveds of the Lord, I have a really powerful show. I've been spending today, well, many days, but today especially was a day of tremendous breakthroughs and revelations for me. And so a lot of what I'm sharing tonight comes directly from that level of truth that we all have within us. And it helps when someone can give you a reference point to what you already know. And so tonight, hopefully, I will be able to convey the energy and the empowerment of self-realization and the levels that constitute our reality and our true self. First of all, if I was to ask you, who are you? I probably would get a variety of answers. But what we're dealing with is something that goes beyond the name of your body in this lifetime. The definition by which you call yourself in time and space, your job, your career. It goes into that which, when all of the rest of that falls away and dissolves into the respective elements, that who you truly are eternally remains. And so tonight, we're going to be focusing on the power of observation and you as the light of divine vision itself. It's interesting if you study sacred geometry, which I like to do, that the geometric symbol for light and the eye, all eyes, no matter what type of eye they are, is the symbol for light. The all-seeing eye has from time immemorial been used to designate the all-seeing eye of God. And when you focus in your third eye area and you see the vision of the eye that appears, that is your seal that in this lifetime you are destined for self-realization. Now, that's not to say that some of you who haven't had that vision are not going to be self-realized. No, I'm not saying that. You'll never hear me put out a limitation that would define you to something external. You may have had the vision in other lifetimes. It is my understanding that many of you are already Christed, ascended masters who have literally returned in time, back in time from the future. That's how I perceive you. I perceive you from the top side down as a completed and truly holy embodiment, the divine incarnation, the avatars that have come to represent the very embodiment of the divine, walking ascended, whole, and free, even as you live in the 21st century, and as you do traffic and freeways and jobs and kids and relationships and all of that, you are the rishis, the adepts, the ascended masters, the Shambhala masters, the celestial and cosmic beings who are already baked cookies, let's say, in the oven of God. You're already ready for the frosting, the decorations to be put on you. Because this lifetime, for the first time, you have the open sesame and open sesame to manifest your Christed consciousness in time and space. There's no holds barred. This is your hour. This is your day. this is your moment. Now, as you follow with me this evening, because I'm speaking out of that level of the self-realized self, it's going to be an impartational, activating field of light that enters into you from that which is the soul that I am. That is what you are as well. We are one in that. Ride the energy of my words back into the self that in highest truth you have never left. If, beloved, you are not self-realized today, it is simply because you have focused your awareness, your time, your energy into other areas. It doesn't mean that it doesn't lurk, so to speak, behind the backdrop of your phenomenal outer life. It just means you haven't turned your awareness to observe that which has always been you. You can't lose you. You can lose and you will lose everything else, but who and what you are forever. Everything else is a temporary episode in your life. Everything else will be left behind. But who and what you are eternally is safe. It's as secure as your next breath. And it is who you are. Now, that self is actually a witness. In fact, when we were with Sai Baba, it's interesting, he was talking about the divine. And he said, God doesn't act. God creates. With a single word, he created everything that was, and then he set it according to automatic universal laws. And then he acts as the witness. So who is it that acts? We act as extensions of divine light or consciousness, which is the same thing. Awareness, light, consciousness, and God are one and the same thing. So you, as the Son of God, the sons of God, the proactive light of consciousness itself, are the proactive agents in cosmos. You are the living word that became flesh and walked the earth as divine man and as Son of God, Son of man and Son of God, exactly as your elder brother Jesus the Christ did. He set the template, and you are simply following in his footsteps. That is the way, that is the truth, that is the life that you are. Now, whatever you turn your focus upon will enter your awareness. You become one with whatever you enter into with your awareness 100%. When your awareness is turned fully into the light, you become the light. You are the light. When you focus entirely into the divine, you merge with the divine. Ah, but I'm talking about 100% focus. So this is that part of the self that we call the witness self, the objective observer self, that part which can distance and see itself as apart from its phenomenal expression, as a body, as a mind, as an emotional spectrum of behaviors. There is a part of you that can watch yourself like an actor on a movie screen. That stage of watching yourself is the stage that most spiritual disciplines are designed to lead you into. However, I find that the average light worker that I talk to is usually doing a practice that is not giving them very much results. And when I look into that process, I see because they do not know how to actively move their inner awareness and move into and claim and establish that state. So that it becomes a daily integrated awareness that they don't leave at the meditation pad or mat or whatever you sit on, but you walk it out into your daily life and you never lose awareness of who and what you are as a spiritual being. It becomes your modus operandi, just as much as the average unawakened person identifies with his or her name and position in society and all of the external accoutrements of physical life. I'm speaking to beings who I call the anointed ones, the cosmic and closet Christs. The closeting is that whatever it is that has kept you in a confined space where you haven't really pushed the envelope and launched forth as that embodied, ascended, anointed one in time and space. So it's that part that we wish to externalize now. Get it out of the closet. Get it walking the streets and the alleyways and the byways of man. Get it into wherever it is you work. Get it into every arena of human endeavor. And allow the light that you are to shine away the illusion. So whatever you look at with 100% pure intention reveals its innermost secrets to you. Just look what happened to George Washington Carver when he began to look at the peanut. And he first of all, he asked God to reveal the secrets of the universe to him. And God said, "It's too vast. I can't reveal the secrets of the universe to you." And so George Washington Carver said, "Well then, reveal to me the secrets of the peanut," since he was a peanut farmer. And out of that single revelation came all of these many, many, many creations and inventions that came about from his singular focus into the mystery of the peanut. So likewise, whatever you focus on begins to reveal its innermost nature to you. But most of us don't hang in with it long enough. We just sort of go in quickly, take a little look, and then we get distracted and we move out and do something else. That's why most of us have spent many lifetimes in India, in the ashrams and in the caves or in the monasteries or the nunneries or whatever it is we've done, so that we could really fine-tune our spiritual inner awareness. Now we have incarnations where we're in the outer world. So now it's not about withdrawing from the world, it's about being in the world, but being an enlightened being while you're in the world. Now, since God is the light by which you see, and God and light and sight, insight in particular, are one and the same, we simply need to bring to bear that pure light of observation on life itself. Begin to train yourself to not be so noisy. Don't do so much talking and interacting. Kind of keep cool, kind of kick back, as the saying goes, and become more of a watcher, listener, observer. Begin to really listen to the sounds, not only of the people that are talking, but of everything around you. Be intensely aware of where you are in the moment, what you're doing, what's going on around you, but stay in the self. Don't lose awareness. Don't allow yourself to get drawn out into the phenomenal expression. Be in the theater of consciousness and watch it like you would a movie, but without getting attached. I remember I went about a year back, I went to see the movie, The Passion of the Christ. And that's probably the most intense movie any exaggeration, it was the most intense movie I've ever seen in my life. And I knew it would be. I knew it would be an initiation. And I remembered years ago when I went to see Cecil B. DeMille's The Robe, which was on a similar theme, I cried for about 2 weeks. So I was interested to see what my reaction would be this time going to see The Passion. So I sat in the theater and I went into witness observer consciousness, and I simply looked to see what was there. I didn't allow my emotions to get involved in it. I didn't allow my mind to start running a trip on it. I didn't do anything. I sat and watched it as I would a meditation, very deep in myself. And as it came to the end of the movie, in that glorious last scene, I felt this tremendous surcharge of joy rise up through me as I realized that he overcame death, and he did it for all mankind. He took the illusion, and the worst illusion, in fact, the Course in Miracles calls it the central illusion from which all illusion springs, is death. And he took that horrible illusion of death and everything that it represents, and he resurrected it to eternal life. In other words, he illumined it with the light of his being so that we could all step into eternal light and life. And I walked out of that theater feeling such joy in my heart that I sat in my car and had a hallelujah praise half hour or so before I could even drive home. Just the gratitude in my heart for such a magnificent elder brother that has lit the way for all of us. And so as we look at things, without getting snagged, you see, we create karma when we get all involved and snagged into temporary states of consciousness. And that's what we need to really learn to kick back from and separate ourselves from, so that we can watch things but not allow ourselves to get all entangled to where we lose a sense of identity. Because when you lose a sense of identity, then you have to do the work to work out the karma. That's what that means. Karma is a Sanskrit word that comes from the root word kri, which means do or action. So karma, in the lower worlds, everything is based on action, reaction, the law of reciprocity, cause and effect. It's one of the laws of the lower realms beneath the soul realm. And so we as conscious embodiments are held responsible for every single cause that we set in motion. The only escape, well, the main escape is when you realize you're not the doer. And until you realize you're not the doer, that God alone is the only doer, and that's the Holy Spirit within you, that is the life force, that is the conscious awareness, when you realize that's the only operative in the universe, the only active operative, then you don't get the karma. Until then, until you're at that state, you can do everything you do for God, in the name of God, and offer the fruit of your action to God. That's called in Sanskrit, nishkama karma, desireless action. So when you do something without a desire to receive or reap anything from the action, it is a free action, and you then don't create karma. Everything else that you do out of your ego, out of your sense of self definition, that's not predicated on who you truly are, you are responsible for that action. As I've said in previous shows, we, the human kingdom in nature, have created the astral realm, which is distorted misidentification of our emotions, and we have created the lower mental realm, which is distorted misidentifications in the mindsets, in the concepts that we have built around ourselves and who we are and what life is all about, in a false sense, a false self. So that's called the Kama Manasic Plane in Sanskrit. It is a realm that's made up of distorted emotions and distorted mindsets, which then creates a whole realm where you reap the effects of your actions. 99% of people, when they leave their body in what's called death, which is really an entering into another dimension of life, go to the Kama Manasic Plane, and they have to work out both their merit and their demerit. Sometimes in the world faith, like, for example, Catholicism, this could be probably what we would think of as the purgatorial worlds, or in Buddhism, this would be the bardos. But these are temporary states. Even if they're really pleasurable and you're reaping good merit, it's temporary. And if it's demerit, you're working through things that you've set in motion that you're, again, receiving the benefit or the repercussion from if it's negative. So what we want to learn to do is to be so conscious in what we put out now that we don't build karma and we can step free through grace. When Jesus took the accumulated karma of the fall off of human souls, he enabled us to ride in through grace to transcend the lower laws that held us confined. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and every jot and tittle had to be accounted for. To being able to do things in his name, power and authority, and to allow him to use us as instruments so that we could live above the karmic flow and eventually embody and realize that Christ conscious self. Everything that he taught was to lead us into that spiritual inner awareness that we call Christ consciousness or the illumined state. Now, illumination is interesting. It simply is the byproduct of 100% focus held consistently long enough upon truth that it simply manifests. So we are in, according to the Mayans, that particular season and cycle when we can enter as a family of light into illumination. That's what we are here to do right now at this very, very moment. The wind is at our back. Everything is poised for us to be able to do that. So this wonderful state that we would call the self-realized state, the freedom of soul, the illumined state, is something that we have never, ever lost. It's something that's with us completely right now. It's not something you have to evolve into or grow into or effort into. It simply is that which remains when you hold still long enough to know that you are light itself. The process I'm going to lead us into right now will take you directly into self-realization. You will benefit a great deal if you listen probably to it when you're not trying to listen over the radio, but you access it later from the archives and you can be still with it and begin to process it and move with it in your inner awareness. Because this active form of meditation is where you go into those levels. You don't sit and wait for them to come to you. You get up and you possess those levels by moving your awareness into them and securing yourself by various means. So this one is a very simple one. Always ask for the light for your highest spiritual good. That way whatever occurs will be just that. There's really nothing to be ever afraid of because, as I've said before, everything and everyone that you will ever see inwardly and outwardly is simply your own self, aspects of your own consciousness. But, you know, some of us have been very active creators in creating the boogeymen too. So it takes great courage to see the face of God because you have to learn to look through all of those various distorted images that you have placed forward in your very creative endeavors through many lifetimes. And as you go into those inner realms, you will see all of those things. So that's why you go in a very detached way as an objective observer, and you just watch it. Whether you're looking at a theater, a movie, going to a theater, or you're looking inside in the theater of your own inner inner Cinemax, which you've got all these different movies going on inside your own inner levels, just be cool and watch and see what's there. And don't react. Just be still. And you take a deep breath and just let your body go into a very, very quiet state. And keep your body just relaxed and still. As you breathe and focus on your breath, gently and very softly bring your focus to your third eye. And silently, to keep your mind kind of focused in the sound current, you can chant a mantra or Anahu or Hu. Hu is probably the best chant because it takes you beyond the phenomenal religious types of approaches that have conditioned our consciousness. It allows us to have a fresh approach in a level that is generally unconditioned. You'll notice that when your body is still, really still, you automatically shift to your next level. The next level from your physical body is your astral body, and that's the seat of your imagination. So you'll notice that when your body's still, you automatically move to the level of imagination. Now, you can use that imagination if you want to. We did one whole show on moving into the fifth dimension and establishing your reality at that level and creating a life at that level. And you could do that at this point, but for the sake of this exercise, I'm suggesting you don't exercise your imagination. You just be aware that it's there, and you don't act on it at all. And you'll find if you don't act on the imagination, you will normally just lift in your awareness to the next level, which is your causal body, and that's the level of your emotions and your feelings. Now, if you just hang out there for a moment and stay really quiet and really cool, just observe, don't feel anything. Don't feel good or bad or bliss or happy or unhappy. Don't feel anything. Just observe. If you do that, you'll see that you just naturally transcend to the next level, which is your mental body. Now, the lower mental body is the seat of your ego, and that's the one that comes up with all the questions. It's impossible to know truth through asking questions, because your lower mind will never have enough answers. It's always going to ask questions. So that's the level that most of us are trained to simply ignore. Keep focused on your mantra. That's the purpose of a mantra, is to keep focused on that. And just let your mind do what it's going to do. You can't tell the mind not to think, because the nature of the lower mind is to form thoughts. So therefore, you are the objective observer, observing your mental processes, but you're not your thoughts. You are not your feelings. You are not your imagination. You are the objective observer. So watch and observe. And at some point, as you just passively, at this point, as an observer, watch your thoughts, and you don't hook in, you don't follow them, you don't do anything with them at all, you'll normally rise just like a plane through the cloud banks, and you will find yourself in what's called the buddhi, or the intellect, which is the pure awareness of the soul. At that point, you have moved into the divine knower, and it is simply awareness itself. At this point, you are in a very deep alpha, theta level of consciousness. You are relaxed. You will not at this level be thinking or feeling. In fact, your body often at this point is quite numb. You're not aware of your body. In fact, those of you who have pain, this is the best way to transcend pain that I know of, is to focus in your third eye and allow your consciousness to go to this stage that I have just led you through very slowly. But actually, I can sit down and move there instantly because I'm aware of how to do that. And it's very, very easy to do. You just don't allow any of your levels to distract you from being completely still and just observing. Do you know the difference between just looking and thinking? I want you to take some time as you work with yourself to discern the difference. This borderland between the lower mind, which is always generating thought forms, that's the level of wondering, trying to figure things out, doubting, confusion, all of that. Ignore it. Let it go. It is said in the ancient teachings that the mind is the slayer of the real. It's also been said that if you meet the Buddha on the path, slay him. Means the same thing. When you're in that object of directed focus, where you're looking at something, you're not in awareness. You're projecting form. And what we want to do is be in just pure light of illumined awareness. So in this stage, you will go into this intellect stage. This intellect means pure awareness. It doesn't mean thinking. It doesn't mean intellectual. Unfortunately, we're using English, which is a language of business and technology, and really we should be using Sanskrit, which is the language of consciousness. So the buddhi is the Sanskrit word for this particular state, or the atma, which is, again, the spirit, you as a spirit, which is simply awareness. This state produces bliss, or ananda. Again, ananda is a state where you're not aware of your body consciousness. You're not stuck in body consciousness with all of its aches and pains. You're not stuck in the emotional tumult that's like a roaring sea of your emotions. And you're not caught in the wind currents of ever-changing thoughts. You are in the pure sunlight of the illumined self. And that pure sunlight, basking in that sunlight, is what has been referred to as the presence of God, the glory of God. It's that state of pure beingness and quiescence. It's what is referred to in the Bible when Jesus said, "Be still and know I am God." If we could take an English statement like that without doing a whole lot of mental gyrations with it, we could use that as a thought, a seed thought. However, I found personally that doesn't work very well because you'll tend to go into creating concepts and religious definitions with statements that are a little bit too familiar. So I think the process I've led you into is a much easier one, and this is what we would call soul transcendence, where you move into the objective observer, which is the soul, the witness self, and you watch as you move and transcend each level. To master any level, you have to transcend to the level above it. For example, if you're tremendously physically unbalanced, then you have to move to that level of what would it feel like in my imagination to feel better, and you would move then to whatever choices would make your physical body feel better. If you're feeling better and your physical body is not a concern, then that frees you so that you're more emotionally available to interact in relationships. If your emotional level is clear, then that frees you again to move into your intellectual, your thinking level. Your thoughts become more clear when your body's comfortable and your emotions are balanced. And then when your physical body, your emotions, and your thinking is all in balance, that enables you to move into the higher states of awareness. And this is the very reason why it's so important to have a balanced life. For example, it's important to keep your body healthy. But if you spend all of your time and energy on muscle building and weight training and put your whole investment into your physical life, what happens when that physical body gets old and drops away, as all physical bodies do in one way or another? What are you left with? Likewise, if you put all of your attention into relationships and outside of yourself, trying to seek that love and that intimacy that can only be fulfilled by you filling your own cup with your own essence, then when that astral body dissipates after you've left the physical, you're left again with nothing. It's like putting your whole investment of your life, dumping it into the ocean. It's like, where is it? The same thing with the mental. If you spent your whole life in intellectual pursuits and research and study, you've built an enormous mental body, but then when that mental body dissipates into the collective universal mind and you're on the other side, what have you got if you've never really focused attention into who you truly are? Now, you do have a residual of that learning in each lifetime, but my goodness, it's infinitesimal compared to the amount of a life that's been invested fully in physical or emotional or mental pursuits. So we need to have a little bit of balance and perspective and really ask ourselves, what is my major intention for this lifetime? Am I intending to walk as an ascended master, fully integrated awareness, fully awakened, fully illumined? If so, then your attention has got to be primarily to stay conscious and aware each moment of your life, bearing in mind that God and awareness, when it's 100% focused, is your point of empowerment. I watched that wonderful movie by Dan Millman the other night, and if you haven't read The Peaceful Warrior or seen the movie The Peaceful Warrior, by all means go and do a treat for yourself and do it. In fact, I was privileged to be on the same program at a Universal Lightworkers conference a few years back with Dan Millman, and we had a chance to have some time to talk and visit. And he's a magnificent soul that went to do extraordinary things through the practice of observing and being present with his process. In fact, I would say, as a divine directive, if you can't be 100% present with your process, you got to really ask yourself, is this something that you really need to be involved with? Today, our young people, unfortunately, have iPods in their ears and a cell phone that they're talking to, and they're trying to drive in traffic, and they're stressed, and they're agitated, and they're frustrated, and they're totally not present with themselves. It will remain to be seen how that's going to play out, as many of them are indigos and very advanced souls. But in my process of mentoring and working with many of them, the process is to get them centered, integrated, aligned, and present with their life, so they're not allowing their life to run them, but they're actually exercising divine direction in where they place their energy, their thoughts, their emotions, and their intent. Very, very important to do that. So in clearing areas of karmic imbalance, this is a very important process I'd like to share with you tonight, too. We're going to have these two wonderful spiritual processes for you to practice during the week ahead. And this is how you clear karma. Karma is caused whenever you personally identify with temporary states that are not part of the eternal you. These would be temporary emotional flare-ups, temporary mental flare-ups, those areas where you just find yourself all wound up and caught up in them, and they're doing you, and you lose a sense of conscious presence. The way you clear them is you sit down. And generally speaking, a lot of people will go into avoidance at this point. They will judge themselves, or they'll feel guilty, or they'll feel out of balance, and they'll reach for a drink, or they'll do something, take drugs or whatever, when the thing that you really need to be doing at this point is sitting down and looking to see what's there. Why are you not centered in divine bliss, which is your natural state as a soul? Your natural state is a joyous sense of freedom, a joyous sense of peace, a sense of real tremendous spiritual well-being that has nothing to do whatsoever with anything going on in the outer world. You're just happy because. No other reason. That's who you are as a soul. So when you sit down with your imbalance, whatever it is, and you just turn your awareness to it, don't judge it, don't critique yourself, don't criticize yourself, don't project on another person, just sit and look at it. What is going on? Trace the imbalance to where you stepped out of the loving, because 9 times out of 10, you have acted unlovingly, and immediately that repercusses as a sense of unhappiness. So look and see what's there, and shine the light through your eyes, because your eyes are the windows of your soul. The light of God within your consciousness flows through your eyes inwardly as you look inwardly at this situation, and it dissolves it. Believe it or not, the light of the objective observer, when you look at something very clearly, will clear it through grace. It's just that simple. And then you just take a deep breath and release it. That's what it means to release it to the Christ. That's what that means. The Christ is that inner light of divine awareness. So you release it through grace, and you step free. It's just that simple. There's exercise in the Course in Miracles, which is marvelous for this, and it's simply to realize, I am never upset for the reasons I think. I'm upset because I'm seeing something that's not there. So what is there? The only thing that's there is the light of God manifesting through separate envelopes of manifestation that we call human bodies. But really, in truth, there's only God. There's only the divine light. There's only awareness itself expressing temporarily through this arena that we call the third dimensional earth experience. So you're never seeing anything that's upsetting you, that's real. In fact, the very sign that you're looking at something that's unreal is that you will have an immediate negative feedback if you're trying to do something with it or make it work. Do you ever realize why people are so miserable? It's because they're trying to make a totally unreal life real and significant. And of course it's insignificant. Why do you think people feel empty? Because they've not based their life on perceiving and acting from the reality that they are. Why is that? We're not trained that in the Western world at all. I mean, aside from a few human potential trainings in the 70s and 80s, of which I'm a product of, there has been virtually no training in self-realization and awareness in the Western traditions that you could say, ah, yes, there it is. Well, yeah, I could say transpersonal psychology. Dr. Roberto Assagioli's work was the fifth stream of psychology that went into that mind, that mindset that you're something more than just your body and your behavior and your environment and all of that. But basically, you have to turn somewhat to the Eastern teachings and or charismatic born-again Christianity to begin to get a sense that you are part of God, and God is part and parcel of your true identity, that you actually live in God and God lives in you. And that's the amalgamation, the blending, the synthesis that needs to take place now so that we can be truly self-realized in this time. I hope this is clarifying things for you. I think that there's some wonderful keys that are being shared this evening. And again, the thought that came to me just before I sat down is that the truth dawns like the sun in the sky of a quiet mind. the truth dawns like the sun in the sky of a quiet mind. There's a saying in Sanskrit that the Manasa-sarovar is a lake in the high Himalayas, and that our mind should become like that lake, which is so still that it's like a mirror. And that still, quiet mind allows the truth that you are to flood down through all of your levels and illumine them. You know, it's one thing to be aware, but our objective is not only to be aware, but to integrate that awareness, to center ourselves in the truth and to integrate that awareness so that, again, it becomes our normal, everyday, 24/7 operative platform through which we extend the love and light of God through our instrument of the physical, the emotional, the imaginative, and the mental bodies. That's who we are and what we are here on earth to do at this time. This is really training in spiritual warriorship, because a warrior, a spiritual warrior, is very careful where he invests his energy, time, money, and attention, and makes certain that what he puts his life investment in is fitting to the goal that he has established for himself or herself. So wake up, stay conscious, keep aware, and flow within the river of life and light and being. And you will find that you are that eternally traveling consciousness that we call the et cetera factor of God and of spirit, because there's always the next step. There is always the plus factor in an open-ended creation, and universes that are opening into realms within realms within realms yet to be explored and yet to be created. Everything, beloved, in the lower worlds is the past. That's why there's another exercise in the Course of Miracles that says, I see only the past. I see nothing as it is now. And if you meditate on that, you will find that that also is very true, because we are in, for example, when the astronomers look in the telescope and they see, for example, a certain nebula out there, they will tell us that actually that nebula doesn't exist now today. We're actually looking at billions of years in the past. So we're not even seeing a third-dimensional sky in the present moment. We're not seeing each other in the present moment. Usually when we look at a person, we look through a concept that we have projected around them that we associate with them. That's why people get so upset when you become illumined or born again or different, because all of a sudden they can't put you in that same box anymore. You're not in that box. You're manifesting a different consciousness. It really freaks people out when you do that. So, again, to be in the eternal now is to be in God. It's to stay present here and now, keeping your focus just in this moment, just in this action, just in what you're doing, and being with that, with your full awareness and your full intention, and with as much excellence as you can bring to bear on whatever it is you're doing, which means you do it with loving care and attention. These are like hammer strokes that break off that encasement of forgetfulness and ego that we bring around ourselves to be as a defense against the truth of who and what we are eternally. And as we allow these hammer strokes to break off that hard shell, and we allow this beautiful child of God, this beautiful innocent being to be born and truly born again of spirit, you awaken into eternal life. You awaken as if you had never seen the world around you. You awaken with a sense of beauty and magnificence and empowerment and clarity and simplicity and joy and laughter that you can't imagine. And it's simply out of being who and what you are and have always been, but simply lost sight of. Your awareness, beloved, is who you are, but that awareness can be asleep, it can be in the process of awakening, or it can be brought to bear to where you center yourself in that awareness, you integrate that awareness, you embody that awareness, and you walk it out and practice it every day of your life. And you bring your holy consciousness back and center it whenever it gets dispersed out. In relational fields, the outer world is relational. And we become God-realized when we bring that relation into oneness and we only see God. That's why we say, Namaste. The divine in me greets and salutes the divine in you. And when we can be in that state without having to say that, without having to do the ritual and the rigmarole and all the theology around that, and we can simply move from that space, then we look like Sai Baba. We're out there, a God-realized entity, simply manifesting his, her divine nature, without any big show, without any big hoop-de-doo. You simply are living sahaja, a natural life, a normal life, and a truly human life. We are the only creature in all of creation that can know the God Self, choose to embody the God Self, and manifest the God Self as a conscious choice. And that is why we took human embodiment, because we as divine consciousness wanted to practice that and experience it and to manifest a whole different type of race that would go forth as an illumined Christ race throughout the cosmos. And that's where we're focalizing our attention now, is to move this forth into a different representation of our Earth. The reason we were not hit with an asteroid yesterday, despite all the prognostications of the psychics, is because it's in the past. It's already happened, and we as a collective consciousness simply chose not to focus on that happening again. Having that happen again was not something that we as souls wanted to opt for. So likewise, really quit trying to figure out what's going to happen next and begin to move to that awareness of perfection in which the truth resides, and step free through grace and move into that golden age, which is waiting for nothing but your focus and intention and knowing that you are already in that place and state. So we'll go out in a few minutes with a huge chant I think we'll do tonight. And use these exercises if you choose to. They're very, very simple. They will take you into divine realization because they've come out of a state of one who is in that state. It's not coming out of book knowledge. It's not coming out of imagination. It's coming out of a consciousness that can resonate that state. And that's what we teach from if we are really and truly a teacher of light. We teach from our direct awareness, knowing there's always more, there's always something deeper. But you live, work, and teach from your highest level, and that's your divine dharma, your function in this lifetime. We send forth the love and blessings of the Ashtar Command to each of you, and do know that you are the divine vision of God itself. You, Adonai.